Good morning and happy Sabbath. Is it not? No? But let me start that with this. Last time that Brother Ron was preaching, he inspired me to talk about a topic that is kind of serious, because in this culture that we are living in, we don't really see those forces that Robert was just saying. So that's why before I even start my sermon, I really want to pray. And please pray with me, because again, our enemies are not as visible, not as tangible as some other parts of the world. Recently, I came back from the Philippines. There are things in other parts like the Philippines or Asia or Africa that we cannot, the Western mind cannot really comprehend. However, the same powers are here as well, and we are going to talk about it. So before I do anything, I'm going to pray, and please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to plead for the Holy Spirit. I'm pleading for the Holy Spirit that your Spirit would use us, open our eye, our mind, so we can see that really Satan knows that he's in the last chapter of his life, of his existence. Because when Jesus comes back, and he is going to spend 1,000 years on this earth, after that, there is no more Satan, no more sin, no more pain and heartache that he caused. Lord, we know that our foe is strong. He is mighty in a sense. But our Savior, our Savior's love, greater than anything else. And Jesus Christ won that victory. May he win the victory in our hearts, in our life, so we can be holy, pure, and perfect. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So the title of the sermon is Other Angels. And we were already blessed because for some providential reason, Penny's story, Overcome Evil with God, and Dave's song also connecting to this topic. Because we are talking about the warfare that is going on in this life. So if you can step for our key text. Thank you. So let's read again the key verse. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There is a war in this earth. There is a war that is way bigger than the Ukraine-Russian war. There is a war that is way bigger than the Iraq-US-Israel war. There is a war that started Satan rebelling against God. It is started long time ago. But the good news is that 2,000 years ago, this war was won by Jesus Christ. We cannot forget the fact that Jesus Christ won this victory on the Golgotha when he crushed that serpent's head by dying and proving that, number one, God's character is love. Number two, man can keep the law. Number three, that with him in his victory, we can also be with him in paradise when he comes back. So we have to say and put down these facts before we talk about it, because though we're going to talk about strong forces, fallen angels, we need to keep in mind that those are defeated foes. Those are defeated foes. But let's just go back in time. When did this war started? Did it go? Oh, other way. And we are going to read Revelation 12 one more time. Thank you. Revelation 12, 3 and 4. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. So we see this dragon, this sign, when he shows that one third of the stars were drawn down to this earth by him. Now we read on to verse 7 till 10. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angel fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angel fought. But they did not prevail, nor was place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before the God day and night, has been cast down. So we clearly see that, yes, there was a war. War between Michael and Satan. And the Bible calls Satan the dragon of old serpent. Where is the name old serpent is coming? We go to Genesis 3:1, and it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of garden? So that's the old serpent. That is Satan. We can really identify in the Bible that, yes, there is a war. There was a war, and the war came down to this earth. And but as we said earlier, Jesus won this war. So this is not a war that we don't know the outcome. I don't know what's going to happen with Ukraine and Russia. I don't know what's going to happen in Iraq or any other part of the world. But we know that this war that is the greatest war, the controversy, we can call it that way, it is won. It is just, we are in the final stage when Jesus is waiting for a people that can truly manifest his character and vindicate his character to the world, that yes, indeed, by faith in God, we can live a life as Jesus lived on this earth. So this is the base, this is a fundament that I want to build upon this sermon, to understand this. Yes, though we live in a culture where, especially in a Western culture, we try to rationalize things. We don't dig into spiritual things. We kind of, like in old, we try to worship reason. You know, everything is scientific. Everything has to be tangible, measurable. We see and we believe what we see with our own eyes, what we can comprehend. And I believe that is Satan's plan. And this is what we can read in the Spirit of Prophecy. In Testimonies 5, Volume 5, page 533. There are evil angels at work all around us. But because we do not discern their presence with our natural vision, we do not consider as we should the reality of their existence as set forth in the Word of God. So this is something that Satan wants us to do, not to take these spiritual foes seriously. Another quote in Great Controversy: the fact that men have been possessed with demons is clearly stated in the New Testament. The persons thus afflicted were not merely suffering with disease from natural causes. Christ had perfect understanding of that which was he was dealing, and he recognized the direct presence and agency of evil spirits. So when we are talking about sometimes diseases, that also can come from the devil. The devil is the murderer. Jesus calls him the murderer who kills men since the beginning. There's another quote: the connection of the visible with the invisible world, the ministration of angels of God, and the agency of evil spirits are plainly revealed in the scriptures and inseparably interwoven with human history. This is not something that we can distance. They are around us. Good angels, we heard about it when Brother Ron was talking about, and also bad angels. There is a growing tendency to disbelieve in the existence of evil spirits, while the holy angels that minister from them whom shall be heirs of salvation are regarded by many as the spirits of dead. But the scriptures not only teach the existence of angels, both good and evil, but present unquestionable proof that these are not the disembodied spirits of dead men. So yes, so when we read in the Bible that King Saul saw somebody coming up from the earth that was demonic, that was nothing to do with Samuel. Okay? Now, as I said, in this Western culture, we worship reason. And where did it start? If we go back to the French Revolution, there was a huge rebel against the two other estates of the government. You know, the royalty was one estate, and the clergy was another estate, and the people were suffering because they wanted to just take more taxes, and they were oppressed. So they just got tired of it, and they revolted. And this is when the French Revolution started. So one of the way that they threw out religion is to worship the reason, worship what you can understand, what you can scientifically prove. And actually, they got this bar. I think she was a bar singer, and they carried her around, and they just worship her that she is a goddess of reason. And that back from the 1700s, end of 1700s, they trickled down to ages and you know, enlightenment, age of enlightenment, and we got to the point where the devil is just some kind of a fairy tale, some kind of a joke. It's kind of similar in the same way as we look at these mystical figures. Nothing to do with reality. But if we go back to the Bible, and we can see what they do. Really easy example, we talked about in Sabbath school, the story of Job. Who caused all these calamities to Job? Devil. That was a devil who did that. Okay, so you can see that the devil really a murderer. Job suffered through losing his his wealth, as we said in the Sabbath school. He lost his children, 10 children. I mean, you can imagine losing 10 children, all of your children. Losing one children is bad enough. He lost all 10 of them. And he lost his health. I mean, how deep can you be pushed down? And yet he was faithful to the Lord. But it was Satan. It was Satan who caused all these calamities. What else did the devil do? You can see in the story of Joshua, the high priest, in Zechariah 1-5. Let me read it. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a branch plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garment from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. What does the devil do? He accuses you. He accuses you. Don't forget, when we are tempted to accuse one another, that's what the devil does. Don't do what he does. Don't accuse one another, because when you are on my intention to bring the other person down, to make them to destroy their confidence and confidence in God, instead of helping them to get up from the ground, we just put another step on their head. That's not what Jesus does. Yes, we never can excuse the sin. A sin is a choice. And when you're making a choice, yes, that's your fault, so to speak. But you as a brother and a sister, you're there to help the person, teach them to make a better choice. Show them a way to make a better choice. Or we can go to Luke 8:2, another story what the devil does. And there's a Bible is full of this great controversy, and you can see that how the devil wants to destroy humanity. You can see the story of Mary Magdalene, but what does the Bible says? Mary called Magdalene, out of whom he come seven demons. Jesus cast demons out from people. That is clear. Demons have, and we're going to talk about a little bit later, and I'm referring to your sermon a lot. When we open a door for some way or another, the demons have access to your soul, access to your mind. And though they cannot read your mind, but they can implant thoughts, they can push your buttons, they can trigger you, they can even possess you when you cannot do what God wants you to do. Or another story in Luke 13. Remember a story when in a synagogue there was a lady who couldn't straighten them up because she was bended. And what did Jesus talk about this lady when the Pharisees wanted to accuse him that he is breaking the Sabbath? "So ought not this woman, being daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound, thinking of it for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" So yes, Satan indeed can cause physical illnesses and can bind you. So you may think that, okay, what about now? what these things are happening up fast, and if you are not from certain part of the world, what about now? Is the evil angels are still active? Now I'm going to tell you a story of two gentlemen that were really involved in with the demons and spiritualists. The first of them, I don't know if you heard his name, Moses Hall. No? So he was born in 1836, and this gentleman, I call him gentleman, he became an Adventist preacher. He was ordained in 1858. Now, the story of him is pretty sad because he was a brilliant speaker. He was an excellent debater. He's the guy who can win any debate by he was defending the Adventist beliefs. A brilliant mind. You know, sometimes when I'm talking to people, I'm just amazed that some people can just so fast, sharp mind. I'm not that type. And sometimes I need to sit down and think again, okay, what did the person say? But some people have this ability to fast react and reason, and I just admire that people. And this person was admired as well, until he was starting to debate with spiritualists. Now, E.G. White sent him warning. Hey, don't be so self-confident. Don't be so cocky. Don't go this area alone. You cannot win against them alone and only trusting your own abilities. So he spoke his last sermon as an Adventist person or an Adventist preacher in 1863, and then he divorced his wife, he married another spiritualist, and he became a leader of the spiritualist movement. He denied that Satan exists, but he believed that all those voices that comes to him and talking to him, those are dead people, spirits. He became a strong spiritualist leader. He promoted socialist ideas. He became a promoter of certain political parties. He became a enemy of God. Really a sad story, because when you are engaging with people that are associating with evil angels and evil influencing, they can suck you in. Don't go near to them. Ouija board and others, spiritualist games, movies, they all have tremendous forces to suck you into that world. People can manifest certain behavior that is not just strange, but also dangerous. And there's another story, another gentleman who was born in 18 April 1925. I don't know if anybody can recognize. Yeah, okay. So if you recognize it, let me tell you about him. So he was a person who was born in Canada, and the parents wanted him to be a Catholic priest. So he was born in a Catholic family, a really devoted Catholic family. But when he was hearing about the purgatory and, people are dying, and like Job's friends, they were saying, they die because God is punishing them. He started to dislike God to the point that he started to hate God. And during the World War II, he was in his late teens. He got to the point where actually one of his friends introduced him to a elite society that were Satan worshippers. They were they were the secret society that, but within themselves, they were openly worship Satan. They believed that Satan has the right to rule the world, and they gave, these spirits gave Roger Monroe dreams when actually he can foretell which horse is going to win the horse race. Actually, back then he won $420 by just listening to those dreams. Back then, $420 is a big money. So they were asking him that, okay, join our ranks. You know, you can see the power that we have, the fancy life that we are living, with all the pleasure and all the benefits that comes with this club membership, so to speak. But he said, okay, I need 1 week. I need 1 week before I make a decision. Okay? So, in the same time, there was a family, a newlywed couple, whose the wife was an Adventist, but the husband was not really an Adventist, and he was struggling with a Sabbath. But he said, "Okay, I'm going to get baptized to your church." He told to the wife, "If I can give somebody a Bible study," and those two people actually met and where they were working. And Roger Morneau had some questions about God, God's character, because, you know, he was during this 1 week notice, so to speak. And he said that, okay, I wanted to hear more. So he started to have Bible studies at this newlywed people's house. And he was so into the Bible study that he actually didn't do just one Bible study. He went through four. And before the week was over, he went through all the 28 Bible studies about our faith. And he even joined the Sabbath on the following Sabbath after the week was over. Now, the 1 week was over, right? The 1 week was up. And supernatural signs happened in his house. There was banging on the wall, banging on the doors. That person who invited him to that society or that group of people, he said that there's $10,000 bounty was put on his head. So if somebody's going to kill him, because he knew too much. See, the thing is that the devil's priest told a lot of things to the people who were present while he was present. And later I'm going to mention one or two, a point that he heard and saw too many things that the devil worshippers thought that that person has to die. So what known about Roger Morneau is that he became a prayer warrior. One time he had 25,000 people on his prayer list. If you read the book Incredible Prayers and Incredible Answered Prayers or More Incredible Answers Prayer, those stories are true stories. Are stories that are happened, and God really listened to Roger's prayers. People came from different continent just to talk to him, just to ask for his intercessory prayers. He died in 1998, and just read his books about his answered prayers. It is a big blessing. So you may still saying it, okay, that was a couple of decades ago. What about now? The question is, it is mental illness or demon possession? Because right now we are, actually me myself, I'm working in a mental health institution. When I started nursing, you went to the psych ward to work when you wanted to retire because it was kind of boring. You know, people were not really sick. There was dementia, there was some depression, but not as saturated with psychotic signs and symptoms that people may shows. So a couple years ago, the Ohio Conference had a kind of like a mental health conference done in Kettering College area, the Kettering Hospital, and I got invited there and went there, and I happened to sit by Timothy Jennings. I don't know if you heard of his name. He had some book, but he's an Adventist psychiatrist. He's an Adventist psychiatrist. He is more like on a kind of a liberal side, but he's an intelligent, a smart guy, a really smart and respected doctor as a psychiatrist. And I was sitting at his table, actually a table where many of us sat there, and I asked him a question. Did you ever encounter true demon possessions that the Bible is talking about? Did you ever? I was not asking, again, psychotic symptoms. You know, if somebody is schizophrenic, I assess many people, and they are telling you that, yes, I have voices in my head. They are telling me to kill myself. I see shadows are coming out from the wall. I see other things, but I'm only relying on what they are saying. Okay? So when I do my assessment, I write those things down and I present it to the doctor and charting it and whatnot. But these are the things that they are telling me, okay? Their experiences. But that was not my question, because I see it all the time. You know, you have drug-induced psychosis. There is many times people are talking about, you know, certain, hallucinations and delusions and whatnot. So what I was asking, if really, did you ever encounter somebody that you know that that person is demon-possessed? And he said yes. He told me the story that as he was making a round in one of the hospital, he went into the room, he saw this person first time. And as he was asking the questions that you do during assessment, this person's voice changed, and he revealed him things about him that only he knows. So he said that that's only happened once, and I knew that that was something that nothing to do with drugs or alcohol or some a mental illness. That was definitely the effect of the action, what the devil does to you. Okay? So, yes, these things are out there. The Bible says that many times Jesus encountered demons even in the synagogue. So when we are praying, please pray that the heavenly angels keep our church, the church service, free from these evil influences and the devil, because they know that their time is short. They know that their time is short, and they do everything to snatch the salvation from you. A couple months ago, I saw a YouTube channel. It's run by Adventists. The channel's name is Little Light Studios. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them. And they had an interview with a gentleman. His name is Tom Medock. He is He is a missionary in Cambodia, Southeast Asia, and for 40 years. And he wrote the book about his encounters with fallen angels. And actually, he wrote the book Fallen Angels, and he has a lot of story how he what was his experience. He has a ministry of deliverance, but what I want to mention about this book is he writes a lot of doors that we shouldn't open, a lot of circumstances or mindset that these evil angels, the devil, wants to exploit and use it to access to our heart. He put these doors in four categories, okay? By the way, he has lots of, I think I did 210,000 views on that interview on YouTube. That was really eye-opener. So he said that the evil spirit tries to spiritually abuse you. So when you are, let's say, because I have the definition of this. So I'm just going to just pick on a couple of them, like a sorcery. People, horoscope. People like to seek supernatural power apart from God through forbidden practices. Horoscope is one of that. It used to be just a casual thing. Oh, what kind of when did you were born, and this is your personality. This is the day that you can get money or whatever. These are not just a little fun things to do. Okay, these are things that you can open your door to the evil angels. Heresies, being deceived into teaching false doctrine that distort biblical truth and mislead others. So when people are coming to you some ideas that have no biblical base, go away, because it also opens the door for evil spirit to the worldliness. That's another thing. When you really absorbed by chasing the American dream, especially we who came from different countries, they can also open the door for the devil to hijack our mind. Okay. Another category is self-abuse. This is when we do things deliberately that opens, you know, something that we know that is bad, yet we are still doing. Maybe we're doing it because we feel that we are so weak, like anxiety, you know, circumstances and intrusive thoughts that demons use to still trust in God's control. That's why we are anxious, right? Because we don't believe that God is in control. We just had a whole Sabbath school lesson on that. Okay? Obsessive work focus, cultural expectations, personal insecurity that demons amplify into work, idolatry, destroying balance. Depression. You feel down because life circumstances and or poor health and demonic oppression that steal joy and hope. What does Paul says? Rejoice, always rejoice. How can you rejoice in every circumstances? Remember those martyrs that went in front of the lions by singing psalms and praising God. I know by my own life experience that hardship can be really tough. Hardship can be really sad. But we need to, that's why we need to know God. We need to let Him live in our heart so we can stand against these thoughts and feelings that the devil can use. Another thing, obsessive gaming, or young people, video games, this games and that games. And I'm not saying it up hype, because I used to play those games, but they can be so demonic, mind and time destroying. I mean, we are really living in the last day of the earth. We have no time to play games. We have no plot. The devil doesn't play games either. He does everything to another destructive fantasy. You know, E.G. White writes that castle building. You know, young people have this idea. They're looking at this idea of what I want to do. You know, my pursuer is it's another white horse, and you know, they have this sentimentalic dream of their future. Our future is in heaven. Now, we should pray for godly spouse and godly life partner, but having daydreaming and fantasies, they are just going to take our mind away from Christ, and we are going to spend more time with those things that what's really need to be done. And again, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I had many, many, many fallings on this list. Pride, hatred. Again, it's a really nice definition how he tells you how the devil hijacks these circumstances and thoughts to control your actions, because that's what it is. Another one is social abuse. Okay, I'm reading every morning the testimonies, and today it was all about unity and how accusing and arguing and arrogance and backbiting and blaming and all these things are, should not be ever in the church. These are the things that, again, if we slip into these activities or mindset, Satan's angel is just waiting to hijack our thoughts and our mind and our actions. The last thing, last category about social abuse is sexual abuse. He had many encounters when he was, the devil uses people possessed by the devil to tempt us to do things that you should have never even go closer. These are the doors, these are the areas that if we give an inch, Satan is going to get our whole arm. Okay? So, I can talk to more about this thing. Again, this is not Spirit of Prophecy. This is not the Bible. This is just one person. I'm not promoting the books per se, but it was to me an eye-opener how the devil is using all these avenues, all these situations to get to the point when he can truly process. There's a saying that if you lose your temper, who will find it? The devil finds it, right? So, my prayer is what you can see in 1 John 4:4 is that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're living in a warfare. We're part of this great controversy. There is no middle ground. No middle ground. After the close of probation, there's only going to be two type of people. And Jesus didn't come back because many of us are on the fence. And he loves us too much to wait until we make our choices. Sin is a choice. This is not something that sin is not a temptation, not an inclination. This is a choice. When we harbor those thoughts, when we have a second look, when we are thinking about it, when we are surrounding ourselves with forbidden things, that's when we make our choice. But guess what? Salvation is our choice too. The same time you can make a good choice. You can choose God. We can choose God. And as Ivan was saying, God will protect us. If we choose him, he will protect us against all these demonic forces. I had no time to talk about, you know, the experiences that people from the Philippines are having, or Askia was telling me, or Brother Fikir was telling me. There are, in other parts of the world, they are more tangible, more visible, more in there. Here, it's camouflaging himself with mental illness, with addictions. I mean, if you talk about addiction with somebody who's an addict, it was, I think, 2 days ago. I talked to a gentleman in our floor, and he said he's an opioid addict. He's a crackhead. He calls himself a crackhead. He said that, you know what? When I'm okay, I'm okay. I can maintain a relationship. I can maintain a work. I can do everything. But when I take the drug, I don't care about anything, anybody. I don't care about God. I don't care about my girlfriend. I don't care about my kids. I don't care about my health, my anything. I don't care about anything. This is how binding and tightly binding, when somebody is controlled by the devil. That was using these substances. Satan is using relationships. Satan is using loss and certain things that he can use to hijack our thoughts. I gave him a great controversy, this patient. Hopefully he's not going to tell my boss that I'm handing those out. And I hope that he can find victory from his addiction. So my prayer for all of us is that, remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Cling to God and live a victorious life. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear my Father, this is our prayer, that Jesus would live his life within us. Lord, that's the only protection against the foes that try to destroy us. Lord, thank you for Jesus, your Son, who won the victory. Thank you that he showed who you are. Thank you that we can come to you through him, through Jesus, and we know that because of him, you listen to our prayers. Lord, we just pleading that you would send your Son back so we can go home, we can see you, we can worship you throughout eternity. In Jesus' precious name, amen.